C1AP, number 13B.
So what I want to say with that experience which I had as a young man, and which showed me a situation which I could, which you could encounter over and over and over, that the practitioner would say, you know, healing was so easy in the earlier times. The end of the last century, beginning of this century, it was so easy to heal the most difficult cases. And every year it gets more and more difficult. Now, is that stately science pauses not and moves before you and leads you divine heights? No, that's not stately science. That was God. The belief in God, the wonderful belief in God, in that unstructured sense of what principle really should tell us, that couldn't go on and leading to divine heights. There had to come a time when we really had to investigate what is the principle of Christian Science and not the God of Christian Science. What is the principle of Christian Science, and the principle of Christian Science teaches us the system of Christian Science, and that enables us really to restructure constantly our categories and bring in new views. And I think anyone who has touched somehow what John Dolittle was trying to teach, there were not many that really could see what he was trying to teach, but those who touched it, they all had a wonderful life. A wonderful life of constant evolution of the idea, of rising higher and higher in the vision of the idea, which is absolutely satisfactory. So, there is always that wilderness experience, as she said, that the woman fled into the wilderness. Think of Mrs. Eddy fleeing into the wilderness when the rebellion started, that second big rebellion, especially in 1888-89. She closed the shop in Boston and went away. Said, I go away and seek in solitude then a higher, and silence a higher understanding of the scientific unity which must exist between the letter and the spirit of Christianity. And in that solitude, after that, in the midst of that rebellion, where she lost, as she said, about 40% of the students and the best students, in the midst of that rebellion, she rewrote the textbook, Stately Science, and for the first time gave out the textbook with all chapters. She brought in the new chapter, Science, Theology, and Medicine, and she wrote the textbook as a whole book for the first time, and at that moment she also wrote the exegesis of the 10th chapter of Revelation, which she had here in the Apocalypse at the beginning, where she said, now the book is open. So we can see that in the turmoil of that wilderness, she could bring out a higher sense of science. And that happens to each one of us. I can trace back my life quite clearly. Every time I began to touch somehow a wider vista of the thing, hell was let loose. The students would turn against me, my friend would turn against me, my co-workers would turn against me, and would just drop me from one second to the other. And every time I came out victorious, every time. So finally, you don't fear anymore when friends desert you, when helpers desert you, when they turn against you. You don't fear it anymore. You only know that this is life, the tone of life, where they try to destroy you, but they can't if you are a woman. Because before they try to destroy you in the wilderness, you have brought back the idea to principle and know that this idea is in principle and not in me. and that principle will take care of it. And so at the point of life, the woman is fled into the wilderness where she is provided for 1,203 score days, where she is provided with the principle that demonstrates for her life, truth, and love. It's the second 3.5. You know, you really can't trust the idea. You can't trust thought. You can't trust good thought. Doesn't hold tight. Lets you down. But we can trust the idea. Therefore, the importance, you see, to work with ideas and not with thinking. So much that is written about Christian Science, and I must say also a lot that is written about the Dorley line, it's all about thinking, about good thinking, about good thoughts. This is not Christian Science, nor is it the teaching of John Dorley. He taught something very different. He taught that principle has a divine idea. And so, with all our heart and endeavor, I think we should see that we gain that woman standpoint. That we can see that through the first 3.5, we somehow have to approach the subject of principle. We can't sidestep that. We have to learn our synonymous term. We have to learn the ideas that characterize the synonymous term. But then must come a point where we really can see that only as we go out from principle and do not think from principle, but let the idea of principle work, then we are over the hump. Then we can trust the idea 100%. It may be a wilderness experience, but we always come out on a divine height. Always. So, he goes on to that wonderful subject of truth. And here again, we have to watch carefully what Mrs. Eddy says here. And so, it may be the best thing if we read again sentence by sentence together. We are on page 566, line 25, first the biblical reference, and there was war in heaven. Now we get the warfare. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought, and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Okay. So here you can hear at once truth, the Michael state of thought, of truth, destroying error. But let's see what Mrs. Eddy says about this. And here we come to a very, very, very important point. She says the Old Testament assigns to the angels God's divine messages different offices. She says the Old Testament, it doesn't say the New Testament. Because the Old Testament had different angels. Here in Revelation, it's only Michael that the Revelator is talking about. So she takes now the Michael and says, Michael's characteristic is spiritual strength. A wonderful character, spiritual strength. A wonderful thing he does. He leads the hosts of heaven against the power of sin, against Satan, and he fights the holy wars. Isn't it a wonderful man, I just can see Michael with the sword, Say, come on, I kill you, at what the Revelator says. Mrs. Eddy says, Gabriel, that's another angel. But the Revelator doesn't speak about Gabriel. She speaks about Gabriel. Can you see what she does? She takes Revelation and lifts Revelation out of the 6,000-year period, of the Michael state of thought, of the truth period, and lifts it into the 7,000-year period of the Gabriel, because she says Gabriel has a more quiet task of imparting a sense of the ever-presence of ministering love. Can you hear the different music of a Gabriel than of the bum, bum, bum of Michael, huh? He fights the holy war, huh? And then you have that wonderful Gabriel consciousness that is addressed, has always a sense of the ever-presence of ministering love, love that never loses sight of loveliness. Then she says, these angels, these, Michael and Gabriel, these angels deliver us from the depths. Both deliver us from the depths. Why are they different? Truth and love, Michael and Gabriel, that's truth and love, Michael and Gabriel, come nearer in the hour of woe, when strong faith or spiritual strength, that's a Michael, wrestles and prevails through an understanding of God. The Gabriel of his presence, of God's presence, has no contest. She just had described the Michael as that which has a contest. He fights the holy war. He's against the power of sin, Satan, and fights the holy war. The Gabriel doesn't. The Gabriel of his presence has no contest. You see, it is as if those two would show a contrary method of warfare. Or at least, let's say, they show two different method of warfare. But of both, she says, she had said, these angels deliver us from the depths. Both can deliver us from the depths. And yet they are different, very different. And that's the problem that we have to solve. And that revelation, when we go on in the further chapter, shows what happened when we take the one method and when we take the other method. And that there are two completely different methods, both leading to Rome. But the one is direct and the other one goes a zigzag way. To infinite, now she describes again the Gabriel state of thought, and to infinite ever-present love, capital L. All is love, capital L. This is a rendering that you find only a few times in the whole of the textbook, that she defines one synonymous term through the same synonymous term. That love, here, all to love, all is, again a capitalized term, love. That's very seldom. Why is it seldom? Because she touches here on the highest level of science itself. Because we know the level of science itself always shows that God or that mind is his own infinite mind, huh? that spirit is his own infinite spirit, that soul is its own infinite soul, that principle is his own infinite principle, that life is its own infinite life, where the synonymous term only considers itself as a synonymous term and not as idea. This is the highest level. If you know the book, the level book, the four... how did I term my books? The title is The Four Level of Spiritual Consciousness. If you read that book and study that book, there you see that the level of science itself is that level where the synonymous term only contemplates itself as a synonymous term. That's the level of science itself. And this is very seldom that she touches in the textbook this highest level of science itself. Very seldom. Here you have one of these levels of science itself. And the interesting thing is that this highest concept is not that which the Revelator shows. She shows it because the Revelator doesn't speak about Gabriel. The Revelator only talks about Michael, not about Gabriel. Can you see what Mrs. Eddy did? She knew, either consciously or unconsciously, she knew that Jesus was telling John the Revelator that the 5,000 year periods are over, that there must be something new to come. I will show you what comes hereafter. And so Jesus showed to the Revelator the 6,000 year period, namely the book. Mrs. Eddy came, wrote the book, and the book was opened. But she too took, so to say, the same standpoint that she could see, but the Revelator must show me also what must come after. Or at least I should show the world what must come after the 6,000 year period. And that's the 7,000 year period of love. And that's the 1,000 year period of Gabriel and not of Michael. You see that she took the liberty, and she must have had quite a bit of courage to do that, to say, that which the Revelator has shown, I am going to bring forth, the child is brought forth, but I'm also to lead on the revelation of St. John to divine science and to science itself. I lead it from the 6,000 year period to the 7,000 year period. And we are at that threshold, therefore she's playing with both, with Michael and Gabriel, with Michael and Gabriel, and we'll see that. Now, that Gabriel state of thought includes the Michael state of thought, because the womanhood always includes the manhood of God. And here you see it very nicely. Here she depicts now that Gabriel state of thought and translates it right down through all the four levels. To infinite ever-present love, all is love. And there is no error, no sin, sickness or death. You remember in the level book that we had just put that the level of science is that level where the synonymous term is contemplating itself and therefore does not know error. Here she says it. This is one of the most exact statements of that. A very seldom statement in the whole of the textbook. Then she translates it to divine science. Against love, the dragon warreth not long, for he is killed by the divine principle. The dragon cannot war against love. Because, now you come to absolute Christian science, because truth and love prevail against the dragon. Because the dragon cannot war with them. It depicts that error is only a belief, and therefore he cannot war with them because he's nothing. Then you come to the final conclusion of, on the level of Christian Science, thus endeth the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. For the first time you have the conflict between the two, but naturally it is ended within that Gabriel state of thought. So that the Gabriel state of thought does not exclude the overcoming of error and the resolving of the erroneous concept, but it just goes out from a higher consciousness. And the higher always includes the lower. So we can't say, well, I think now this is wonderful, instead of being the Michael, I'm going to be the Gabriel. We cannot make up our mind which one we want to be. That is a question of where our inner consciousness is, how far we have cultured within us the consciousness of the levels, and not just talked about it or learned it by rote or anything like that. It's naturally a tonality of it that we have within ourselves. But if we come and touch a little bit that state of science itself, then we know that that always translates itself to divine science, to absolute Christian science, and to Christian science, bringing an end to that conflict between spirit and the flesh. So that the warfare ends, though there is no error. And so gives an answer to that the paradoxical point that on one hand we see there is no error, and on the other hand we have to see that the conflict between the flesh and the spirit has to be brought to an end. I don't know if I put that clear enough, but I think in the level book that is brought out very clearly, and also in the classes that are given here, this is always brought out clearly. Yes, so here we have that sense. Isn't that quite impressive to see? And we must remind ourselves of that, because it becomes more and more an issue to see that the revelator has the Michael state of thought in view. He fights the holy war, therefore the Michael casts out the dragon and the angels of the dragon, that are the concrete forms of the fundamental belief in evil. They are cast out through the holy war. Whereas Mrs. Eric comes and says, there is another method. You should also come to the point where you use the method of Gabriel, where you are a woman, real woman, and stick to that. And that woman never loses sight of loveliness. That woman we have seen is the coincidence of the divine principle and divine idea, and that has no contest. That does not know error. And if we stick to that consciousness, then the rest, or the next sixth chapter, are they sixth? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, the next sixth chapter have no value at all. Because the next sixth chapter afterwards only show how you deal with error if you are a Michael. Then you have to go through the whole rut of dealing with error and knocking down one error after the other until we have knocked them down, and it's a dragging process and a weary process, and they show that it is a long process and a weary process. But Mrs. Eddy shows that if we would take and could take in consciousness, spiritual consciousness, really the Gabriel state of thought, that we could jump from this chapter right into the holy city, because she does not interpret anything between this chapter and the 21st chapter of the Holy City. We could jump that. So all that which is in between is showing what can we do if we stick to the micro state of consciousness and are not going further than the micro state of consciousness. And because the Revelator did not show the Gabriel state of consciousness, he had to show that whole method of dealing with error with the power of truth. But we'll see that as we go on. So let's just go on. We can't go on. Yes, we go on. Because that we can do quickly. The next one is, and the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and the Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so she explains them further down on line 23. The words cast unto the earth shows the dragon to be nothingness, dust to dust. So the Michael must take truth and destroy error, because he can destroy error, because he must know that error is a nothing and not a something. But he must find out that it is a nothing. So 26, his angel or messages are cast out with their author, and so on. Then 31, divine science shows how the lamb slays the wolf. Innocence and truth overcome guilt and error. See, she goes on now to interpret the Revelator, the micro state of thought, how truth overcomes error. Ever since the foundation of the world, ever since error would establish material belief, evil has tried to slay the lamb. Again, the warfare. But science, again, not God, but science, is able to destroy this lie called evil. So she ends here, actually she doesn't end, but I end here with that point, that science therefore is that which will deal with evil. But we must make a break here.